unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. In the name of Jesus. Persuasion. It has to be convincing. The act of convincing someone to believe something is exactly what persuasion is. And truth be told, you could say that that is the pastor's entire MO, to persuade people to believe. Now, there are two parts to today's gospel text, so I hope you are persuaded to believe both parts. Convinced by this homily, which is the public explanation of the sacred doctrine. The sacred doctrine before your ears this morning is in two parts, like I said once again. And the two parts are the office of the keys, or otherwise known as the apostolic ministry. And then the second is the purpose of this, the Bible. So what's going on is on Easter evening, this Jesus appears to the 11, ten, because Thomas, the one called Didymus, which means twin, was not there. So Jesus appears on the other side of locked doors, stands among them, and gives them the common Jewish greeting, which is peace. Shalom be with you. Without waiting for their response, because he knows their emotions, he shows them his hands and his side, and they rejoiced. They show expressions of joy that their hope of their salvation was not lost. The relationship with their teacher, master, and beloved friend was back. And then Jesus, for a second time, gives them the peace, repeating himself for the sake of the disciples, whom he is about to commission, whom he is giving a mission and authority to, so that they know what they are supposed to deliver to the world when Christ institutes the apostolic ministry. First, what's the first part of instituting the apostolic ministry? Is to bring peace with you. And then Jesus tells them what's going to happen after that. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And get that, there's a specific you there. The apostles are the you in the possessive pronoun. And then Jesus breathes on them. Not to have them check if his breast smells bad after being dead in the grave, no, but that they may receive directly and personally from Jesus his very own Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He blows on them a gift of spiritual empowerment. Empowerment to do what? Unlock or lock sins. That is the office of the keys, a special God-given way of applying the gospel to the individual. And the church has been given the authority to forgive the sins of all who repent, but also to withhold forgiveness from those who will not repent. And so Christ here initiates the pastoral office through which the office of the keys is publicly exercised, and that is on behalf of the church. So yes, be persuaded that this ministry, the public ministry, is how the church behaves. It is what we confess in the I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. And this is the pattern we follow. That was instituted by Christ on Easter Eve. He was not messing around and waiting too long to get to this either. He rises from the dead and says, "Now it is time for the church, my risen body, to begin on earth." Likewise, the office of the keys extend the written and spoken means of grace, which the church, the whole reason the church calls pastors, to exercise publicly, to teach in the church publicly in the divine service, and also to administer the sacraments. And our church teaches in the Augsburg Confession, Article 14, which is entitled Order in the Church, that no one else should exercise publicly the means of grace without a rightly ordered call. So, may not remember this, but this homily bounces off of our Maundy Thursdays, Holy Week, the one I preached about how everything done up here in the public worship service is the duty of the public office, speaking and administering the means of grace, word and sacrament on behalf of the church. And this is why Jesus appears to go through locked doors and walls so that he can start this word and sacrament implementation plan. Now, I ask that you be persuaded by this holy doctrine, but not only be persuaded, but also convicted. Let's go on to the next thing that happened. Next, what we have going on is the part that many like to call the Doubting Thomas ordeal. And this ordeal leads to the purpose of this book. But first, Thomas is not persuaded by the disciples. Disciples have that speech that we have seen the Lord. No, he needs to be convinced by sight. He needs to place his finger into the nail marks of Jesus and place his hand into Jesus' side. You see, the act of persuasion involves various strategies. We in everyday life and everyday conversations are constantly going through these persuasion strategies. From marketing, advertisements repeatedly play their annoying, catchy jingles to you, right? About sales, a salesman convincing you to buy a product. How about a parent persuading their child to do their homework? But especially, persuasion appeals to our emotions. Emotions like doubting. Doubting in the world is one thing, but insofar as it pertains to Jesus, because we can have doubts in the world, but what about doubting pertaining to Jesus? Let me tell you what not to do. Do not rely on your feelings. Do not rely on yourself in any way, thoughts, words, or deeds. Rely on the fact that God always keeps his promises for sure, and be persuaded by that fact. When Dr. John the Apostle, for he certainly is a doctor of theology, writes for us these events, he coins Thomas as saying, "I will never believe." But belief there is equated with faith, but not the type of faith that is self-serving. Because what belief really is to be persuaded by the Lord, not by the self. See, faith is not a human believing. It is a God-birthed believing. It is to have confidence in the persuasion of the Lord. And Thomas does. He evermore does want to see Jesus. Thomas loves and believes in Jesus. But he is emotional. Because for whatever reason, maybe he was out getting groceries, he was not present when Jesus appeared for the first time. But Thomas, during his taking up of the office of the ministry, goes on to be martyred for his faith. He was martyred in India for converting Hindus to Christianity. Thomas wants to see Jesus, yet he needs to be persuaded by sight. It is like when a guy convinces another guy that he needs to see the latest action movie because it has that part in it that's unbelievably awesome. So the buddy says, I gotta see that. It's also not unlike when your girlfriend, ladies, gets engaged when you never thought she would find the right man. Another friend tells you about it, and you're like, let me see the engagement ring. See, we long to be influenced by emotions. We need social proof or popular experience in order to make a decision. But once again, life is filled with these situations. So, the next Sunday comes about, and Jesus appears again, and this time Thomas is there. He says, "Peace be with you," like before, and then immediately goes up to Thomas and says, "See my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Do not be persuaded by self, but be persuaded by me." "It's me, Thomas. You know me." Thomas answers him, "My Lord and my God." "You bet I do." Then Jesus convicts him. "Was it just because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And he says that for your sake. For you have not ever seen Jesus, not face to face in the flesh anyway, and you have never physically got to put your hands on his kept nail marks in his hands or his scar from the spear going through his side, and yet you believe, don't you? How come? Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, John says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These things are written. That's how come you believe. That's the purpose of this book. The book is how you see Jesus. The book contains the nail marks and the spear mark of Jesus. The book, the Holy Scripture, the Bible, is how you are able to call him my Lord and my God. So who is Jesus and what is worship? He is the Word, and worship is about the Word. Jesus had already told his disciples, "He who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me." The apostolic faith is that God wants us to hear, understand, and believe his Word. So simply open the book. There is life in his name because his name is the Word. Therefore, in the Word, there is life. This is none other than logical reasoning, presenting facts and data. Logical reasoning is part of the persuasive strategies. The Bible is about forgiveness and life in Jesus. And the Word and the words do more than just convey information. The Word instructs. The Word encourages, warns, and comforts. It humbles the arrogant, trains in godly living, and instills the hope of heaven. The purpose of the book is to draw sinners to life through faith in him. And we should, by all means, read Scripture. For it was put into letters and constantly preserved in the church through the special dispensation of God. And it will remain in the church until the end of the world, that we might read, learn, take to heart, inwardly digest, and pass on to our children and our children's children. But see to it that you look for nothing in it except for Christ, without whom no one comes to the Father. By the public reading and explaining of the Scriptures, God's Spirit is at work. God's Spirit builds us up until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So therefore we pray, Lord, continue to call men to be your under-shepherd, watchmen over the flock, men who declare the whole counsel of God by their public office, men who rightly administer your sacraments and apply your means of grace properly. Through this worship, persuade us with the words that you have given, gathered in your name, that's the invocation, and sent back into the world in the same name, your benediction, O Lord. We confess you, our Lord and God, and blessed are you who has given us belief. Yes, blessed are you who is among us. Amen. Finally, peace be with you. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In the name of Jesus. Amen.